So much of the messaging that we all receive out in the world vilifies food. I think that many of us have grown up to be afraid of certain foods. Today on the Weekly Walk podcast, Eric and I are going to talk a little bit about working to reframe our relationship and our perspective on food and to realize that at its heart, food is fuel. And at its heart, food should be our friend. So if you are looking to figure out a way to start to treat food as your friend, lace up your sneakers and let's get going. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Joyce.
Would you like to tell our community what we had for dinner last night?
No, I would not.
I think maybe we should. I think it frames today's conversation in a not so positive way.
All right. Well, we were playing pickleball outside at our local park. I think this is the first time all year, right, that we've played outside, or did we go there one other time?
I don't know.
And it was beautiful evening.
Finally spring.
We're playing a little pickleball.
Hold the phone. We were playing a little pickleball.
We were playing a lot of pickleball. And birds are chirping and our
sun is shining.
The courts are right next to a Little League field, and you could hear the screams of kids and parents in such a joyful way and the occasional clank of the bat. And as we're walking to the car, we notice the Mr. Softy truck.
And we were hungry. Do you know why we were hungry?
Because we hadn't eaten anything in a while.
Because we hadn't had dinner. We played 2 hours of pickleball. We had not prepared. There was no snacks with us. And soft serve ice cream.
Yeah. So that basically was dinner last night. Though I had a thing of store-bought sushi at like 3. That was, so I'll call that dinner.
And I had some half a sandwich at like, I don't know, I ate all day long yesterday.
Yeah.
It was ravenous.
Yeah.
So this is the lead-in to today's conversation around treating food as fuel. And in my view, the most important thing around this is kind of making friends with our food, which we're going to talk about a little bit. But I want to start by saying soft serve ice cream is not fuel. It's like as I was eating it, I was honestly thinking, I don't think there's a single natural ingredient in this. Like it barely melts. It melts and it's still solid.
It did have that sort of McDonald's faux ice cream sort of consistency to it.
Oh, no. I think McDonald's ice cream is way better quality than that.
Oh, you think? Oh,
I do.
Well, so, you know, you said make friends with your food, which makes me think of, oi, Bruce the Shark here. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo, because in Finding Nemo, the sharks say, fish are friends.
Not food.
Not food. So we say, food is friends. So say with an Australian accent, food is friends.
That was pretty good.
Was it?
So culturally, we have learned to like vilify food. We've made food the enemy. I mean, really, like, let's think about that for a minute.
Okay, yeah, that's just off, because we need food.
We literally need food to survive. Let's just be really clear. Like, so we can treat it as something that we're battling with all the time, or we can treat it as the glorious fuel that it is. And I really do think that as we start to try to reframe food as fuel, we've got to start with like embracing it. Am I wrong?
No, 100%. I think that is the starting point. I think once you make the transition from sort of food as something you do to food as something you use and need for your body, i.e. fuel, it will begin to color your perspective.
And that's not to suggest that food is not more than just fuel, especially culturally, right? It's our cultural history. It's the way we connect with other people. It's so much more than that. But at its heart, as you say, like, let's start with the place that food is fuel.
Yeah, I mean, we're about to sit down for a Passover Seder and eat together, and that's a whole ritual. And food is, of course, a big part of that. But I'm talking more sort of in general and conceptually for our well-being and existence. Food is fuel.
All right. So let's go through and review a couple of concepts that you and I believe in that I think can help people start to embrace that.
Yes. And before we do that...
Joyce
and I are not dietitians, nutritionists, scientists, PhDs, etc.
Do we play them on TV?
We play them in a podcast. No. This is purely our opinion for entertainment purposes.
I'm going to push back a little bit against entertainment purposes.
That was just for like the FTC people who are listening.
We're certainly well qualified to share our personal experiences, the way we have embraced our journey with food, the way we have maintained our health and wellness. I was at the dentist a few weeks ago, and he said, "You must eat really healthy." I said, "I do eat pretty healthy." He said, "You've got extremely healthy gums." Apparently, that's a marker of nutrition.
Is healthy gums?
Yep.
Interesting.
I know.
Good to know. Okay, so disclaimers out of the way. Where do we begin?
I think we begin with embracing some education around food. Once we accept the idea that food is fish or friends, food is friends, food is...
Fuel and friends. Friendly fuel.
Oh, I love that. Food is friendly fuel. It's a little bit of a tongue twister. Get educated. Start learning about it. I feel like there's a little bit, there are a lot of F's in this podcast. I feel like there's a little bit of fear around food.
Don't fear food as friendly fuel?
And there's so much education out there. Now, some of it can feel really overwhelming because some of it's conflicting. So there's a challenge in that, but you've got to sort of parse through some of the education or the information that's out there. If you see, you know, the grapefruit diet, if you see the, there are many kind of fad diets out there, just ignore all of that.
The carnivore diet.
Just skip all of the fad diets and get educated about protein and carbs and natural carbs and added sugar and just start paying attention. So I read this book years ago, and I don't even remember the name of it, but it was a terrible book. It was just awful. But there was one sort of through theme. It's like written really sarcastically. But there was one...
I'd probably love it.
One through theme that I actually has stayed with me now for like, I don't know, 15, 20 more years. You ready?
Yeah.
The theme is, you're not an idiot. Read the label and pay attention.
Mm. And I would even stress the second part of that. Pay attention.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. You know, there's a little bit of denial, right? Like in my weird, like, do you have any curiosity around reading the ingredients in the ice cream we had for dinner last night?
No.
Right. Exactly. Because had we stopped to pay attention, I think we would have been like, not sure this is what I want to put in my body.
Correct.
So get educated and pay attention.
Yeah.
We probably could stop right there.
Yeah, I mean, that does sort of sum it up, but there's so much other stuff. And like, it's like I'm tempted to dive into some of the things, the carbs and fats and proteins. But I mean, we could have literally a whole podcast on macronutrients. That's carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. They're called macronutrients. But if that's sort of not in your lexicon, like, again, there's plenty of podcasts, articles, resources. You know, Google it for 2 minutes and you'll know more than at least half, if not three quarters of Americans. So yes, educate yourself.
Okay, next on your mind.
Understand, you know, when we say food is fuel, I think there's a corollary that food is sort of a tool to help you understand your goals and your objectives and where you want to go. Like, you know, when I was training really hard for CrossFit, I was eating differently than I am now.
That's for sure.
Well, I was eating volume, and then even when competing. So if, you know, I saw one of our members did her first 5K, and super exciting about that. And she may have wanted to fuel her body a little bit differently before that 5K than she might have at other times. And if you're looking to change your weight, if you're looking to change your mood, if you're looking to, again, do your athletic performance, or just, you know, your overall health and longevity, those things might inform how you eat and what foods you use as fuel.
So I think all of that's true, but sort of what's the takeaway in that?
Is decide what are you trying to achieve? What is your goal through this?
But isn't everybody trying to achieve improved health and wellness? I mean, I sort of feel like for the normal person, the food, we all have the same food goals. I mean, I guess that's part of it. I suppose extreme athletes, right? When you were training for CrossFit, when, you know, Tommy's going out and doing a triathlon, obviously food fuel is completely different under those circumstances. But like the average person, don't we all have the same goals?
Yes.
I mean, like this whole idea of like setting specific goals around food, like that to me feels, I don't know, too rigid, too artificial. Like, I don't know.
I didn't say rules. I said goals. Like, what are you trying to achieve? Okay, so, you know, let's talk, you know, losing some weight can be one of them, or maintaining, or those are going to set sort of different parameters.
I don't know. I just, this whole idea of setting goals around food feels, I don't know. I feel as, like, I just think our relationship with food should be much more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Organic, no pun intended.
Organic, no pun intended.
All right. So I think we can sort of stick with a universal goal, which is to fuel our body with the nutrients that it needs to live a happier, healthier, better overall life, and to help with our longevity and all the good things.
Our energy.
Energy, mood, and physical plant.
And that, right. And that goes to the next sort of thing on my mind, which is friggin' paying attention. So here's something I know about myself. If I eat too much sugar, I can have like a little bit of sugar, but if I have like a piece of cake, which I do from time to time because I love me some cake, it gives me a headache. Now, I know that that means that there's something wacky with my blood sugar when I bring in that much sugar. And sometimes I do it. But I know if I have a full piece of cake or a full cup of ice cream, I am going to have a, oh, my body is too much sugar headache. You know, I know that if I eat too close to bedtime, it's going to disrupt my sleep. Like, there are things that I know about myself because I've paid attention. Doesn't mean I don't sometimes make poor choices.
Like pizza dreams. Do you ever have pizza? Like,
I don't, but that's a thing, right?
Oh yeah. If I eat pizza, particularly a lot of pizza, pretty close to bed or relatively close to bed, like, A, I won't sleep great. B, I'll have fairly vivid dreams that I'll remember. And yeah, it's all due to the food flowing through my body in a different way and probably not the best way.
So I wonder, and I would ask people, how much do you know about how the food you eat affects how you feel? And if you don't know a lot about it, you can figure out a lot about it by just paying attention.
Yeah. And I would say by the time I reached a certain age, and
are you that age now?
I'm well past that age now.
What's the expression? I was this old when I learned that, or something.
Yeah. But these things sort of started to really stand out, and I don't know if it was a function of experience that I'd had more experiencing eating pizza right before bed, or that it was affecting me more as I got older, or a combination of both. But you sort of know certain foods are going to affect you in different ways. And if you're not familiar with that, you know, again, pay attention, see how your body feels. If you're eating something of a, you know, particular nature that maybe isn't something you always eat, or maybe it is something you always eat, you know, try to see how you feel. And maybe that's the way you always feel. And then try eating something different, maybe something a little more nutrient packed, a little less sugar, let's just say, and see how that makes you feel. So pay attention.
Paying attention. All right. I've got two fundamental food as fuel things, and everybody's different. Everybody's body is different, but I believe that these two are universal.
Hit me.
You ready?
Yeah.
Less sugar, more vegetables. I recently read an article, the gist of which was, one thing we know for sure about food and longevity, with all the different things out there and all the different people's bodies, et cetera, the one thing we know for sure, more vegetables, good for you.
Agreed.
So how do we do that?
I'll tell you a big way that I'll speak for myself, but really sort of we do that, is we buy bags of pre-made salad.
Not proud of that.
No, but it just makes getting vegetables in at dinner time so easy.
Yeah.
I mean, salad prep is a chore. You have to chop all these vegetables and put them together, and it's just done for you. You just open a bag. There's some nuts and seeds in there too, and some dressing, and voila.
Well, yes and no, because we, or at least I, always aim to add some additional organic and different vegetables to that bagged salad. So
I was going to say, speak for yourself, because I'm happy with just the bag.
But we want to get a variety of vegetables. So eating the same vegetables, all vegetables are good, but you were talking about macronutrients, talking for just a moment about micronutrients, which are the vitamins and the minerals and all the different smaller, subtler things. They're different in every vegetable.
Yeah, absolutely. What gee, what's that expression? Variety is the spice of life. So variety is the fuel of life, frankly.
Variety is the fuel of life.
I'm going to patent that.
I don't even know what to say about that. Different colors, you know, eat the rainbow, and I don't mean the Skittles.
Yeah. No, we often put chickpeas in our salad, canned chickpeas, that's pretty easy, and extra veggies of various kinds.
Oh my gosh, you actually have really no idea because I'm the one who does it.
Well, we'll put kale, we'll put little cucumbers unless they're slimy, so stuff like that.
So carrots, cucumbers, red cabbage. Cabbages are great, and they're actually fairly easy. You seem to be in a mood this morning where, like, you just want everything as easy as possible. So I get that. Oh, jicama.
Jicama. I love jicama.
Jicama's delicious.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, 40-something years old when I discovered jicama.
I don't know that jicama was really a thing when we were younger, and part of it is just there's more variety in the grocery stores these days and the farm stands, which leads to eat local, eat whole foods. You know, you can eat applesauce, which is processed and has less fiber and usually tons of sugar. Or, ready?
Hit me.
You can eat an apple.
Yep.
So if we're going to treat food as fuel, whenever possible, eat the actual food.
Ooh, that's a good concept.
You can eat a banana, or you can eat a slice of banana bread.
I do love me some good banana bread, but yeah, I basically, the closer to the original form you can eat the food, the better it's going to be for you, or the opposite, the more processed and packaged the food is, the less good it's going to be for you.
And that's kind of the issue with the bagged salad, is it is processed.
It's not highly processed, but it's,
The dressing?
The dressing.
The chemicals they use in the bag?
Yeah.
It's not great.
It's not great.
I mean, we do it, but it's not great.
Mm. All right. Well, see about making our own salads.
And making your own salad dressing. So,
well, Maddie's coming back from school, and she makes this arugula, lemon, olive oil.
I got to talk about this arugula
Parmesan
salad.
Parmesan cheese salad.
Yeah, I got to talk about this salad. So there's a local restaurant here that makes this arugula salad that everybody talks about. And Maddie and a couple of her friends deconstructed it and figured out what it is. And it is arugula, avocado. So that's the challenge, because you got to get the avocado right.
Mm.
And grated or shredded Parmesan cheese. But the secret is the dressing. And I'm always like, Maddie, will you make more of that dressing for me? She's like, the dressing is olive oil and lemon juice.
And salt and pepper.
And so
it's complicated.
It's literally, before she left for school last time, I was like, can you make some of that dressing and leave it behind? She's like, Mom, it's olive oil and lemon juice. I think you can manage it.
So, okay, more of that.
More of that. Last week, we talked about ways to make your life easier. And one of the things that we mentioned, which just has to come up again today, is meal planning and food prep. So there are people out there, I am not one of them, but I've always wished I was, who will spend some time on a Sunday afternoon or evening doing veggie prep. And then they have lined up in their fridge like all these little Tupperwares filled with their prepared veggies. What's the face?
Good for them.
Come on.
No, I mean, that's a great way to bring, you know, positive nutritional foods into your rotation.
So why don't we do that?
It's one of those things where you need to devote you know, an hour now to save yourself 10 minute blocks later in the day, in the week. And it's time saving, and it's also nutritionally better.
Well, that's the thing. It's, in my view, it's not actually saving 10 or 20 minute blocks later in the week, because when later in the week comes, we're just less inclined to do it. So I don't even know that I see it as a time saver. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So kind of that's the thing around that.
Right. So, well, if you can, if you have
you
it
can.
In you, go and do it.
There are huge benefits to creating some routines around treating food as fuel. And some of that is being a little bit more proactive in your planning and investing that hour. I honestly, here's a thought starter and an experiment that I encourage everybody to try. 30 minutes of veggie prep on a Sunday afternoon or evening. Just set a timer, see what you can manage to accomplish in 30 minutes and see if it helps you. You know, on the list, I like carrots and hummus. Oh, and that leads me to just, you know, a real practical thing.
Mm-hmm.
I now make my own homemade hummus. Because,
how do you do that?
Okay, you ready? You take a can of chickpeas, you take some olive oil. I like tahini in my hummus, so a big tablespoon of tahini, salt and pepper. Or if you like lemon, or I've used the everything but the bagel spices, whatever it is, and you throw it in a blender or food processor, a little bit of water if you need to smooth it out. And that's it. That's how you make hummus. And it's so much better than the stuff you buy in the store, and it's a fraction of the cost, and it has fewer chemicals in it.
Yum.
It's delicious.
I know. I eat it.
So fresh carrots. Carrots and hummus. It's a delicious snack. If I am leaving for work in the morning, leaving for the office, there is no way in the world I'm peeling the carrots. They have to be peeled and cut on Sunday afternoon.
And can we do celery and jicama too?
Yes.
I'm in.
Right?
Yes.
All right, 30 minutes on a Sunday, see what you can accomplish as far as meal prep.
Okay.
Veggie prep. All right. How else do you manage your food?
One of the things that I've been trying to be more mindful of is staying more hydrated, especially as we're getting into the summer. Like, there are times when I'll feel hungry, and really what happens is I'm just thirsty. That's what's going on. But, you know, your brain is not perfect in that way. And sometimes if I'm like, you know, I'm hungry, but I've been eating properly this day or whatever, I'll have a big glass of water and say, all right, if I'm still hungry after this big glass of water, I will have something, and I'll have an apple or whatever in, 10, 15 minutes. And often doing that will, you know, sort of make the hunger go away, because I wasn't actually hungry, I was thirsty.
I wonder if that's why I ate all day long yesterday.
Oh, were you dehydrated?
I don't know, maybe. I mean, I it's so interesting because I felt hungry all day. I felt like I needed something all day, and I fueled myself with pretty nutritious food. I didn't eat a lot of junky stuff yesterday, but gosh, I just ate all day long. Up until the ice cream, that was the junky part. But I wonder, when I'm working at my desk in the office, I tend to drink more water than when I'm out of my routine. And yesterday I was working from home, not drink. I wonder if it was a hydration thing.
Very well could have been.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Last, I want to talk about briefly, and I mean, this could be not just a podcast, this could be an entire series, and you would need a registered dietitian and like 4 mental health experts to talk about emotional eating. And I am not at all qualified to talk about emotional eating, except in the following context. If you feel like you must eat the ringdings because you had a fight with your fill in the blank, take a walk first. This is my recommendation around this. Take a walk. And if after the walk you still want the ring ding, like, all right, maybe you actually, you know, one of our core values is eat the cupcake. Maybe you actually need the ring ding or the cupcake. But if you put some distance between that urge to emotionally eat and the act of eating, and you fill that in with a walk, which is going to blah, 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 boost your mood, all the things.
Happiness hormones.
Happiness hormones, reduce your cortisol, clear your mind, improve your decision-making capacity. Maybe putting that walk in between the urge to eat the ring ding and actually eating the ring ding is going to help.
Yeah, I hear that. And then sort of I'd like to end a little bit where we began, which is become curious about this. Develop a sense of curiosity around food and fuel and nutrition and all of this. You know, there's so many resources out there, that podcasts and what's that thing where you go on your computer and you have like all the information in the world at your fingertips?
Yeah. The interwebs.
Yes, the interwebs. You know, there's just so much out there. And develop this sense of curiosity, you know, educate yourself.
Watch out for the fad diets, though, and watch out for the crazy stuff, and watch out for the overpromises, and watch out for the the cabbage soup diets.
Yeah, that 100%.
There's a lot of bad information out there too, so you've got to be careful of your sources.
Yeah, look at who you're getting this information from. And that's the other thing, is just like we say, variety is the spice of life. I think variety is also helpful in educating ourselves, because you may see, here's the spectrum, from the carnivore diet to the vegan diet. And there are people who are going to espouse, promote, suggest both ends of those. And I'm pretty comfortable saying that the magic is in the middle, but get your information from a variety of sources and use your common sense and your wisdom to really find something that makes sense for you. So be curious about food and about food as fuel.
And food as friend.
Hey, Joyce here, and I wanted to thank you for joining us for today's Weekly Walk podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, we would love it if you would head over to iTunes or Spotify and leave us a review. The truth is, you guys, those reviews mean everything. And if you want to learn a bit more about the incredible 99 Walks community, you can visit us at 99walks.fit, or you can check out the 99 Walks Facebook group, which is an amazing group of women, all of whom are walking their way to better and supporting one another in an incredible way.